My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. With me is Dr. Stephen Britt. Now, Steve Britt, as we had mentioned last time, is a PhD in mathematics and has a very keen understanding of science and scientific methods and the scientific discipline. He's become a regular writer for our flagship publication, Beyond Today, and he wrote this article in this current issue entitled Sound Science and the Bible, Do They Conflict? And we'd like to welcome him again to Inside United.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kubik. It's okay. Good to be back.
But you make a statement in the very beginning of the article that science has advanced a great deal since the days of Darwin. If we know then what we know now, would some of today's bad science, rooted in bad and flawed philosophy, then firm facts, have ever been believed and accepted? Could you comment on this? I'd like to just hear what you have to say about what it could have been.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, in fact, in the article, I set up a little bit of the dynamic of the understanding the Big Bang and getting to that as a big triumph of the scientific method, whereas, you know, evolution is more of a failed story in the scientific method in that Darwin's observations were very crude. The fact that he was just visually looking at these creatures and noticing there were similarities, but then extrapolating from that to the level that, well, the birds were originally frogs or some such thing.
You know, so much has changed as far as the amount of data has been accumulated.
It was far too much based on the evidence that he had available. And the evidence that's come forth since then is really the key. Looking at the biological level, you know, the deeper we look, the more complicated life gets. And when you look at even what we would think the most fundamental level of life, the biochemical level, things end up being immensely complicated. And it becomes very clear that these things couldn't have come about on their own. Through some natural process. And in fact, even the chemical processes involved in jumpstarting some quote-unquote simple first organism are events that are highly unlikely. So a lot of people, I guess at that time, the scientists who really wanted to embrace a secular explanation and secular agenda for explaining the universe and life and the things they saw, jumped at that opportunity without really looking at a detailed step-by-step level, whether it made sense. They wanted it to be true, so they accepted it as true. So looking, if you can look at the assumptions that the theories are built on, that gives you a good understanding of, well, do I think these are good assumptions? You can take any assumptions you like in a lot of cases. They're fundamental in mathematics and science. So if your assumptions are bad, it'll lead you to bad conclusions. And I think that that's the story of a lot of the, like we talked about in the article, a lot of the misguided science that's been built up. They already had God out of their mind. And so that allowed them and you know, pushed them towards taking these views and working them into their theories, and that's how we came to where we are.
Well, it's just like coming to court and saying this evidence cannot be admitted, you know, the evidence of the fact that there is God, because we just don't want to admit it.
Right.
When it's there, you know, it's very obvious that it is evidence. It is something which is a possibility, such as intelligent design and, you know, so forth, but they just do not want to allow it to be part of the whole explanation.
And it comes down a little bit to a difference in worldview. There's the fact that, and I wrote this into the article as well, that up until the Big Bang was known and it was known that the universe had a beginning, scientists were willing to accept that the universe was eternal and without beginning, and that was logically and philosophically the way that they built their understanding, and they felt secure in that, apparently. The difference in worldview between that and a belief in an eternal God is that, you know, one is lifeless and cold and meaningless, and the other one is this warm, loving creator who designed and planned things. And if you take it at just that level, if it's the concept of something existing forever, well, they're also accepting that, you know, whether they like to admit that explicitly or not is one thing. When you look at the evidence, whether there was a design involved versus just random things coming together, it really seems like that would lead you towards a great super intelligence, in fact, and great designer.
Well, the one thing about even having evidence is the fact that there is life. I mean, if there was no life, who would have known?
Right. If we weren't here to notice all these things, then meaning come from? Exactly.
Yeah. But the fact that there is this phenomenon called life, it adds a dimension of where did it come from and who are we?
Right. And just in fact, your article from the magazine spoke to the artificial intelligence side of things and consciousness, human consciousness, and whether we can impart that to a machine or exactly what that is. That's one thing that I have a pretty strong interest in. And in fact, my mathematics research, I was planning to steer in that direction before I came into the ministry. The fact that we're conscious and able to take note of these things and try to understand them is, in a way, its own testimony to God's work. You know, we're like Him in that way, that we're able to investigate things and understand things and reason. And I just think that there are so many people who think that we are much closer than we are to having something like a conscious machine or a truly intelligent machine.
But they keep trying.
Absolutely. Well, there's money in it if they get it. So, of course, they'll keep trying.
Well, the book Homo Deus, which is about meaning man, God, it really speaks about the fact that there is no need for any type of divinity outside of us. You know, forget it, whether it's Buddha or whether or Jesus Christ or God the Father, because we can now replicate that and we can create consciousness. And I mean, it sounds far-fetched, and yet they're inching closer and closer to it, and people like Tesla and others are putting big bucks into it, into expanding and continuing the human species.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely, it almost, when I read about people with those kind of goals in mind, it feels a little bit like its own religion, like they're setting up man as God, and they're trying to do these incredible things that would make us immortal, or at least make some small percentage of the population who can afford it immortal. And it's very interesting what they're trying to do, and it is amazing what they're able to do in some cases.
But it's amazing how mankind has been able to inch closer and closer to some of the secrets of God without getting to them.
Yes, yes.
Love to talk about this more, but I kind of want to get back to your article.
Yes,
because I found it to be so fascinating. Could you comment about some of the different world views of, you talked about having a loving God on one end and then having sort of nothingness develop.
Yeah, sure. So everybody has access to the same evidence, but that evidence has to be interpreted, right? And you would interpret the evidence based on your worldview, your assumptions about life and the way things are. And a lot of times we make judgments like this every single day without even recognizing that we're doing it. It's just the lens through which we see life. So if you peel back the layers for someone who's very secularly minded and they have to confront this idea that, for example, I'm assuming that something has always existed. That has to be true no matter which explanation I'm accepting here, whether it's, the God of the Bible or just, cold, hard physics or gravity, as Stephen Hawking put it. He says if gravity exists, then the universe will create itself. Well, you're still, acknowledging something eternal in that. So the worldviews involved are a lot of times just the product of our upbringing, the things that we are exposed to, or in our case, a calling from God, having our eyes open and, seeing His personal hand in our lives that can guide us to interpret the evidence that's actually there in a very different way than the narrative that's pushed by society today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of that narrative and the biases and the emotion that's there is a lack of understanding of certain big subjects such as suffering and so forth, where they can't understand why this God who has created all these wonderful things and all that allows for something tragic to happen.
Right. And what I think is interesting is if someone who's in that position where they're really heavily denying the existence of God because of ostensibly some reason, what kind of God would allow these tragedies, if they really examine their own worldview, they'll come to find that there's no such thing as a tragedy if you get right down to it. Because if we're all just life, meaningless chemicals, then tragedy means nothing. Happiness means nothing. It's completely devoid of meaning. And I think that's a rather bleak way to choose to look at you know, the life that we do have.
Well, the thing is that there is joy and there is tragedy in life.
Yes, I mean, we experience it, we know it.
We know it. We know it. It's just a matter of understanding why the things do happen. Mm-hmm. You know, from chemicals that just do their thing to the fact that there is good and there's evil and there's spirit, there's good spirit and there's evil spirit, which is all actually revealed to us in the Bible.
Yeah, and that's one of the amazing amazing things is that the Bible contains truth. And even looking at it from a scientific standpoint, no matter what angle we look at, no matter what scientific measurements we make, they end up agreeing with the Bible. And that's a pretty powerful concept when you think about it. This book written by so many dozens of authors, so many thousands of years ago, who had very little knowledge comparatively to our telescopes and microscopes about how the universe worked or how life worked or any of these things, got so much correct. You know, such as we talked about in the article, biogenesis, the biogenetic principle that life comes from life. The Bible doesn't sidestep that. All life comes from God. The Bible doesn't sidestep that the universe had a beginning. It had a beginning that came from God, who is without beginning. Even the fact that something has to be without beginning, that's in there. If you look at creation myths from other societies, their gods had beginnings. And that's a unique thing that our God claims he is from everlasting. And to acknowledge that and to have that philosophical point that people centuries later came to understand there had to be something without beginning, that's inherent in the pages of the Bible. God revealed that about himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is that even in Paul's time, this is 2,000 years ago now, the attitude towards God back then, as little scientific as they had compared to mm-hmm. right now, is exactly the same as it is now, talking about the biases. For example, here in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Speaking of that, he's speaking to people who are biased already. And what was their bias? Who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. I mean, people who actually, you know, shove the evidence away. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything you need to know about God was known to people who had simple science back then as compared to people now, and yet these biases are there. To me, this is a fascinating question of human conduct and behavior.
Yeah, and I think there are all kinds of different levels of bias. Some of it is entirely conscious, and it's, you know, them deciding there is no God, and I'm not going to accept anything that points towards one. And there's also a lot of otherwise well-meaning people who just don't even realize that they are so biased against God that they won't allow that to enter into their minds. So I think that we see that to every possible degree played out in society and these people who suppress truth and unrighteousness. You know, some of it very deliberate and some of it unknowingly just being deceived is what it comes down to.
Listen, it's been very enjoyable talking to you. We can talk a lot more. In fact, we'd like you to join us for the second part.
All right, I'd be happy to.
Thank you very much for joining us Inside United. Come back very soon for the continuation of the discussion about God, science, and the Bible.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.